Let's pray. Almighty God, we come before you this morning with a renewed sense of our dependence upon you and a renewed sense of our awe of you. We recognize that we are people who need you. We don't have what it takes to make it on our own. And we could never, never earn our way into heaven. So we come in a sense of humility, in a sense of dependence, in a sense of reliance this morning. And we invite you to draw us to yourself. We invite you to extend your arms out and enable us to extend our arms towards you. We invite you to cause faith to grow in each one of us. We invite you to change our hearts, to take out stony hearts and put in hearts that are receptive to you, responsive to you. And we thank you for your written word. We ask that today you would empower your word to do its perfect work in each one of us. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to be activating and illuminating the word and causing it to take root deep inside of us. And we ask that you would send us out from here, empowered to live for you with joy, with peace, with strength, with boldness, with courage. Lord, we thank you for the ways that you are ministering. And we invite you to continue your great work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's midpoint of the summer. Hard to believe already. I'm hoping that the second half of the summer is a season of great refreshing, great rejuvenation. And one of the things that will enable that to become reality is a connection, not just with family and friends, not just with the community at different gatherings, but a connection this summer, time spent in the presence of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So my prayer for you as we look to God's Word together is that there'd be a renewed impetus, a renewed hope, a renewed encouragement that meeting with Jesus, listening to Jesus, hearing the voice of Jesus will happen this summer as you make it a priority, as you find time to listen to the words of your Savior. A number of scriptures that help us as we pursue Him in this way. First of all, our epistle reading for today is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It reads this way. So put away all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. A wonderful scripture to read on a morning that we've had a baptism of a youngster. We want each one of us, like a youngster, like a newborn infant, to have a craving and a longing for pure spiritual milk, the Word of God. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 15, and we see a similar thing depicted in a different analogy. This time, instead of an infant human, now we're looking at plants. Notice that also, here again, we are being invited to receive from God. John chapter 15. Jesus is speaking. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Abiding in Christ means remaining in Christ, staying connected to Christ. Not wandering away, not being disconnected, but staying so close that the very essence of God flows into our lives. The Holy Spirit himself flows through us so that we're receiving from God. We're continually being nourished, nurtured, increased as we hear from him, as we receive from him, as he then does his work in us. Oh, there's such a temptation to get distracted, to get busy, to do other things and to wander off and operate in our own abilities, our own powers, our own ideas. But each one of those results in dryness and really a withering of the deep parts of our being, the most important parts of our being. We're invited to be people who connect to God. How do we do that? It's one thing to read the scripture. It's another thing to think, well, how do I live that out? How do I practically go from this moment into my week and be a person that's staying connected like a branch onto the vine or like an infant who's receiving pure spiritual milk? How do we do that? One of the things that helps us is the scriptures giving us the examples of others who are pursuing God. So today I'd like for us to spend a little time together looking at King David's prayer. We'll be looking at Psalm 143 as we see this man as an example to us of one who's pursuing God, seeking to stay connected, seeking pure spiritual milk, seeking nourishment, seeking refreshing, seeking God himself. So let's look together at Psalm 143 as an example of a man who is trying to stay connected, abiding and remaining in God, receiving from God all that he needs. As we look at David's Psalms, we recognize that he was a man of great passions, great energy, great accomplishment, but also one who knew he needed God. Some people refer to him as the man who was wholeheartedly seeking God. His predecessor wasn't seeking God at the end of his life. His son that followed him was only half-heartedly seeking God, it seems. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. David in the middle, even though he faced great temptations and stumbled occasionally, was a man that kept getting up and pursuing God. He's an example for us. So may we be more like David the rest of the summer as one who connects with, spends time with the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 143. Let's work through it and see the things that we can take with us as we live out our pursuit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my pleas for mercy. You can notice right away, he's using the word Lord, all capital letters. That's a translation of the Hebrew word Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the covenant-keeping God that he's referring to. It's the God who revealed himself on Mount Sinai. It's the God who said, I am what I am. I am who I am. I am that I am. I am the one who calls you. I am the one that made you, created you, and now lives to draw you to himself. I am that God. David cries out to the God of the universe, the God who is the one who loves and calls and extends mercy. He calls to him and says, Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. I encourage you to be a person who starts with that kind of heart attitude, recognizing the goodness of God and then expressing your need for mercy. It's really easy to get caught up on trying to look good to others. I took a shower this morning. I put on some clean clothes this morning. I brushed my teeth this morning because I wanted to look good in front of you as we gather. We want to look good in front of others, but sometimes that tendency to make ourselves look good keeps us from being honest before God. A healthy heart attitude that I encourage you to have as you enter through the rest of the summer is to be one who in humility cries out to God and says, "Have mercy on me." You can be aware of the good things God's doing through you. You can be aware of your successes, but being aware of our need, being aware of our need is crucial as we come before our covenant-keeping God. And as David prays this prayer, he says, "Do this in your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness." Being aware of who God is, his faithfulness is that promise to keep doing what he promised to do. God keeps his promises. God stays with us. God doesn't let us go. He's faithful to us as we journey through this experience of life. We can trust him because he's faithful. And secondly, he's righteous. He's the one that does the right thing, the correct thing, the truthful thing all the time. Because he's faithful, because he's righteous, we can be honest before him and cry to him for mercy. Verse 2, he says, "Enter not into judgment with your servant." God, don't judge me. God, don't evaluate my life against your perfect standards and find me so wanting that you then have to bring condemnation on me. David's aware of the law. David's aware of the righteous requirements. David's aware that God could, if he wanted to, say to each and every one of us, to David himself, say, "You have failed to live up to my standards. You have crossed the lines I said not to cross. You are deserving of punishment." That's the reality for David. That's the reality for you and for me. Each of us are people who need to cry out, God, don't judge me. Don't pour out upon me what I deserve. Don't give me the just results of my behavior. Lord, I couldn't survive that. In fact, no one living is righteous before you, he goes on to say. We need to be aware of our failings. But then we can say, God, as a man who has failed, I ask for mercy, not judgment. Verse 3 says, "For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled." We see that David's not only aware of his own failings, he's aware that he's surrounded by evilness. He's surrounded by those who are trying to destroy him. He's aware that he's in a battle that's raging beyond his abilities. Now, David's a man that fought many battles. He's a man that won many escapades and skirmishes. He's a man that brought great fame to God and to Israel by his military accomplishments. But he's aware that he is fighting a fight he cannot win on his own. We don't know the exact episode, the exact situation. There were many that David went through in his life where enemies were against him. And maybe that's why he's such a helpful example to us. David had battles. David struggled. David had to fight. And you and I do too. We've got situations where we're encountering, where we're up against enemies of one kind or another, whether it's a close friend that's betrayed us, whether it's people in the community that seem to have different opinions of us or desires for us, or whether it's the spiritual battle that we're all in the midst of, that's raging all around us. We are in the midst of battles. An enemy that's pursuing us, that's crushing us. And we do grow tired. Our spirits do faint. Our hearts do become appalled or almost give up hope. But it's in times of almost giving up hope that we most need to follow David's example. Verse 5, he says, "I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the works of your hands." Remember, meditate, ponder. God has been faithful. God has met our needs. God has kept us safe. God has guided us through. He has done things in our lives that have resulted in us being still able to be here, still standing. God has done that. It's so important for us to look back and see what God has done. Now, some of you have done this a lot more than me. You've made a fence. You put one post in after another, and I've got a very crooked line of posts holding up my grapevines. I'm almost appalled at how crooked they are, and I let the branches grow really long just to cover up the crooked posts. Because if anybody came and saw that, they'd say, why in the world did you make such crooked fence posts for your vines? It's because I didn't get out and look back and line things up. Now, it's true, there were roots in the way, and I didn't want to destroy some of the vines that were already growing. I tried to build around what was there as I was trying to recreate something that had fallen down. But each and every one of us might be tempted as we're looking forward to just try to figure out the best way to go. There's times when we must pause, stop, look back, line ourselves up with the faithfulness of God in the past, with His accomplishments in the past, and make sure we're staying true to that line that God has called us to walk. We need to remember what God has done. We need to meditate on it. Biblical meditation is so different from other uses of that word. Biblical meditation is thinking hard about the truth of God. Biblical meditation is engaging the brain to ponder, to mull over, to consider all that God has done, the facts, the truth, the ways God has worked, and then thinking about how to live that going forward, how to align ourselves with that. I encourage you, people, this summer, not just reading the Word of God, but then chewing on the Word, thinking about the Word, mulling it over in your head as you move forward into your day. Verse 6, he says, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Stretching out our hands. It's as if you're walking through a situation and your legs get entangled in vines or something trips you up and you recognize my only hope is to stretch out my hands. God, I need you. God, grab me. God, pull me. On Friday, I went tubing down the Mississippi, just east of Lake Bemidji, for just 1 mile of distance. But boy, that took a long time. When the river slows down and the reeds start growing up, you don't move real fast. I was supposed to go see my dad after I finished that time with my daughter, and it's a lot longer than I anticipated, and it was quite late in the night before I got over to see my dad, and it started him talking about, well, I remember a time that I floated down the Mississippi with my brother. And they came to a spot where the flow seemed to disappear. All of a sudden, there was no open water. All of a sudden, it was just reeds and weeds everywhere. And they couldn't move. They're trying to push themselves through a bog, basically. So finally, my brother says, I can see my house. I'm going to get out and walk there. He took about 10 steps and on top of the marshy, boggy plant matter, and all of a sudden, there was a spot where there were no more plants or bogs, and he didn't realize it, and down he goes. My dad, who's in the boat, only sees a hat left. That's what happens to us sometimes as we're trying to figure out how to walk the path that God has for us, how to get through the situations we're facing. And in those moments, we need to stretch out our hands saying, God, I can't make it on my own. Grab me. Pull me. Hang on to me. Get me through this situation. Verse 7 is like verse 2. Verse 7 is like the beginning of a second stanza of this psalm or this song. It's him starting over again, and he says, verse 7, answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. I need you, God. My spirit is weary, but I need your face. When you're in the midst of a crowd, when you're in the midst of strangers, how good it is to look around and all of a sudden see a face that you know, A face that's lifted up, a face that's looking back, a face that's not hiding and cowering, but a face that's reaching out to welcome you. God is that type of God. He invites you to look, and He's a God that doesn't hide His face. He's a God that lifts His face up to shine His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Verse 8. Maybe this could be a theme verse for us the second half of the summer. Verse 8 says, "Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul." There are some mornings when it's tempting to just rush off into the activities. But in that morning and every morning, the thing that would most set us off on the right path, thing that would most result in us being guided by God, is this hearing in the morning of His steadfast love. Receiving in the morning a new dose of His steadfast love. Having a reminder that changes our approach to the day, that we are receiving God's steadfast love. You see, this truth changes the way you look at everything. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you. God has a love for you that's greater than just human emotions, that's greater than the things that might lead you to go up or down, left or right. God has a steadfast love that welcomes you in to a relationship with Him that's greater than any of the struggles of the day. A steadfast love. Sometimes we need to remind ourselves, I'm a person that's loved by God. Repeating that to yourself can change the attitude, can change the approach, can change the way you're looking at the rest of the day. I'm starting this day with a fresh awareness of the fact that God loves me, that I am His, that I'm in His arms, that He's watching over me. He's showing me the way to go. He's making it known to me. So I can go into this day with a sense of confidence. A sense that I'm going to be, verse 9, delivered from my enemies because I am in the arms of the Lord. Verse 10 also, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on the level ground." It's amazing to me as we are in this age in our country, this time in our country, how much misunderstanding of right and wrong there is. How much blurring of morality there is, how much confusion there is. We are reminded by this verse to be like King David says, "Lord, teach me your will. Teach me truth, teach me right, enable me to see what's going on and be aware of it, and let me be led by, not culture, not personal opinion, but let me be led by your spirit, by the very presence of God in me. May God guide me by His Spirit, so I might see things right, choose things right, walk things right." Verse 11, "doing it for God's name's sake. Letting His righteousness bring my soul out of trouble." And then the chapter ends with this verse 12. I want you to notice he went from being aware of his need, being humble, being penitent, being dependent and reliant, asking for guidance, but it ends with this verse of assurance. Can you see this assurance? Can you receive this assurance? Verse 12. David writes, "And in your steadfast love, I will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant." I will, and I am. I will make it. I will be set free from my enemies. I will survive the attempts on my life. I will get through this time of temptation. I will persevere in the midst of this battle. I will be protected by your spirit. I will destroy even the adversaries of my soul. Because I am your servant. That's who I am. That's who God is, we learn from the beginning. That's who I am as we conclude. I am in this relationship with God that makes me get through the things that I'm facing. We can have confidence of the love of God. We can have confidence in the protection of God. We can have confidence in the guidance of God. I will make it. I am God's man. I am God's woman. I am God's beloved servant. Let's pray. Almighty God, we are in awe of you. We do express, again, our dependence upon you, but we are also receiving from you this morning. We're receiving what we need for life, for godliness. We receive the guidance. We receive the empowerment. We receive the protection. But we're aware of the battles raging around us, but we invite you to lift our eyes up, to not focus on those, but to focus on you. Let us hear your words of love every morning. Let us be filled again by your Spirit. Let us be guided throughout the day by your truth. Lord, help us be aware of our connection to you, that we will be yours. We will be filled with your steadfast love. We will be cut off from our enemies. You will destroy all those attacks against us. You will see us through because we are yours. We celebrate this truth in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.